Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Soy un hombre muy honrado que me gusta lo mejor. A mujeres no me falta ni el dinero ni el amor. Jineteando en mi caballo por la sierra yo me voy. Las estrellas y la luna ellas me dicen dónde voy.
Ay, 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 ay.
Okay, so this is where we are. Just telling you, this is how nerdy Candy and I are. When you put us together, the song comes on. Candy's pick. Okay, fabulous song from the movie Desperado.
I just love Desperado.
And her first thought is to knock all the stuff off the counter because the scene is when he's
just
up.
Like he does
Antonio
with the,
Banderas is up dancing on the countertop in the bar. My first thought is to kick my foot up like he does and because we're nerds.
I know it's like Beavis and Butthead, but like. We're movie nerds.
Oh, my God. If we did a Mystery Science Theater 3000.
You know who's really great at that is Mike Ensley.
No, I mean,
bet. As you can imagine.
Yeah, right.
I can't because I can't make, I mean, I just sit and laugh and laugh and
I
laugh
gotcha.
And laugh and laugh. But you totally should.
7-Eleven here on News
also
Radio 92.3.
Also his wife, Danny.
Oh, yeah. My wife, not Mike's. Mike's wife is not named Danny.
No.
No, she's a sweetheart,
wife,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, she really is. I can't remember.
Heather.
Thank you. That's right. One note before we get into the actual stuff of the day. You know, if you're just joining us, sorry, it's not always like this.
Happy Cinco de Mayo.
It always is Cinco de Mayo.
It is in the 5 a.m. hour.
The entire state of Mississippi is in a storm right now. And the boot of Louisiana. I don't know. Is that what they call it? That's what I call it. Anyway, and the worst part of it is in the southern portion. Over New Orleans, basically. That's going to be heading right across towards us later on this afternoon. So, expect some fairly significant weather, maybe 2, 3, 4 this afternoon, that kind of time frame. We talked quite a bit about the House Armed Services Committee meeting in which Matt Gaetz was talking to Secretary Del Toro of the Navy. And, of course, with the base access, which has now kind of come to pass, which is really great news. The day before was the Air Force Day. You know, they don't do all the hearings for all the services all at one time. They have the Air Force, and then they have the Army, and then, you know. Well, the Air Force one was kind of interesting because you had him talking with General Charles Q. Brown, who's the chief of staff of the Air Force, is now apparently going to be Biden's pick to be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, as you've heard reporting all morning from David Wayne, to be the second ever black general to run the Joint Chiefs of Staff after Colin Powell. And the interesting to me was the question and answers that Matt was asking General Brown the other day when they were talking about, remember that story about the Air Force Academy where the prep sheet, advice sheet had come out that said to disfavor the use of mother and father? That's kind of the line of questioning he was getting at.
General Brown, I do have to ask you a question that sort of stems from what Ms. McLean was asking about. She showed you this curriculum from the Air Force Academy, and she asked you why the terms mom and dad were disfavored. And you said that you're working to build cohesive teams. So just wondering, how do the terms mom and dad impair cohesive team building?
You know, part of leadership is understanding the people you are privileged to lead. And as you have that opportunity, you get to know them. And every one of us grows up differently and has different experiences, different backgrounds. And we can't assume when we engage with them. And so from that perspective, you've got to to build that team and to build that trust with our airmen. And in part because that trust is part of the cohesion, it gives you the strong team to be able to go execute what the nation asks us to do.
All right. That's your first try at not really answering it. But what he's, you know, of course, what he's saying is not everybody's got a mom and a dad. Not everybody's got a mom and a dad, you know. And he's kind of answering, he's defending without quite addressing it directly. So, of course, Matt follows up.
I understand better than most that families at times aren't defined by blood or even paperwork. And I know you have to recruit folks from different family environments into the Air Force. But do you think maybe it puts downward pressure on recruiting some of the people who do have moms and dads and do use the term mom and dad if in the curriculum of the academy it seems to disfavor those terms?
No, I don't.
Oh, need more than that. I'm going to need a little more than that. Because what Matt's getting at is that, look, so much of the time, conservative parents send their kids off to college only to discover that college is teaching them everything the exact opposite of what they were taught the first 18 years of their lives. And there's a thought among some people that hopefully that wouldn't happen in the military. At the academy. Hopefully, that wouldn't happen in the military at the academy. And it turns out, at least in this case, oh, no, that's exactly what's happening in the academy. So you don't think that's a problem? And his answer, a very succinct,
No, I don't.
It's not adequate. So we continue.
And what's your basis for that belief?
A good question.
Because I think part of leadership is dignity and respect of those you're privileged to lead.
You don't think it disrespects people?
I do not.
You don't think it disrespects moms and dads when they send their young children, I guess becoming adults, into the academy, and then they see that mom and dad are disfavored terms? Do you agree that mom and dad should be disfavored terms?
I think we need to respect the fact that they have either parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles that have sometimes raised young people.
So we'll finish this up in just a second, but so far, not the best of answers. Let's just mildly put it that way. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And again, not showing any slowdowns or anything. They're even saying that it's visible. They shouldn't have any problems. And it looks like that brush fire is mostly contained now in Milton. Again, just East Bay Boulevard in Navarre closed. South of Coppell, part of the ongoing drainage improvement project. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You know, if you're getting ready to sell or buy a home, I strongly recommend you get a realtor. Christina Leavenworth is fantastic at this. And I know a lot of times I talk so much about the selling side because she's great at staging, photographing, listing, setting the price. Setting the price is a big part of effectively selling a home. And it's not just to sell the price for the price you want, but you sell the price to get the offers that'll get you the price. It's a very complicated thing. And she's got it down to a science. Like, she knows how to do this. Very routinely gets offers above list price. Closes deals in a day or two, very, very common, even in the slower market that we have today. But so much of the time I spend talking about the selling side that I don't talk enough about the buying side. But if you're buying a home, man, she's a fabulous resource to have on your side because she's like the inside agent. You know, like, she knows the other side so well that she can help you figure out what is the price that'll win that bid. What is the kind of package that will win? What are other people going to offer? What kind of negotiation can we have even on a new home? Like, that's the kind of expert that you want in your corner. So whether you're buying or selling, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are fantastic assets to have. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. So back to this conversation at the House Armed Services Committee on Air Force Day, Matt Gaetz asking General Charles Q. Brown, who apparently is going to be the Joint Chiefs of Staff, chairman recommendation by President Biden. So all of this is going to come back again, I'm sure, but pressing him on this issue of disfavoring moms and dads as the terminology to be used at the Air Force Academy. And as you've heard, General Brown, he's defending that policy. He's saying, yeah, that's right. In the military, we need to be embracing of all types of people from all kinds of backgrounds. And so mom and dad is not the thing that we need to emphasize.
Sure, but I know folks who've been raised by aunts and uncles, and none of them have ever told me that when they hear someone else call their parent mom or dad, that upsets them. Do you know of people who feel excluded when others refer to their parents as mom or dad?
I don't, or either way. Whether it's aunts, uncles, moms, and dads, I've not come across anyone.
If I could,
sure.
The point of that slide, I'm familiar with it, came out of the Air Force Academy.
By the way, this is Frank Kendall. He is the Secretary of the Air Force, so he's jumping in to help the kind general who is floundering at best, right?
It was actually created by cadets for training, and it's not very artful. But the point was that you shouldn't, it was not to diminish moms and dads. It was to just make people aware that that's that particular family configuration, not the
I don't know, Mr. Secretary. It says that you want to use parents, caregivers, or guardians instead of mom and dad. So when you say instead of, it kind of does seem to disfavor it. I appreciate not every slide is perfect. And if you're saying this is an artful and we're not going to try to disfavor mom or dad or make people feel bad, I think that would be progress to hear
that, you. You're correct. It was an artful. I don't think they're using that slide anymore.
And one thing the chairman and I certainly would not take exception with is that you seem to favor the term y'all. So no objection there.
I like nice Matt. Nice Matt, who's asking very pointed questions in a very kind of gentle, you know, bless your heart kind of way. I kind of like this tone from him, which we heard that with Secretary Del Toro in the Navy hearing as well. But yeah, given that he's up for chairman of the Joint Chiefs, I would anticipate some conversations about this attitude towards family structure, the Navy's outreach program, as we talked about in the Transgressors ceremony, featuring a drag queen in the Navy as part of their outreach to non-traditional Navy recruit types. So these are things that are going to come back again. 720 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
What does it mean to be more than conquerors? Romans 8:37 says that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Notice the word in all these things. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, peril, nakedness, and sword. Most of us feel like a conqueror before we get to the time of tribulation, not in those times. Or we feel like a conqueror after we get through a time of distress. Yet the text says in all these things. And the key phrase is through him that loved us. If you know the love of God through Jesus Christ, no circumstance of life can separate you from that love. Therefore, you can walk through this old world with a spiritual swagger and be fully persuaded that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Change. Positive change is happening all around us. Greater Pensacola is growing, and that's why I joined the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Join us. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
The Pensacola Expert Panel is the home of experts of local businesses in all shapes and sizes. Today, at 10, two experts in the Pensacola area bring their entertaining and informative points of view regarding everything about advertising. Don't miss hearing Dick Appleyard from the Appleyard Agency and Jim Grimes Jr. with Southern Media as they discuss why your business should advertise. It's everything about advertising. Today, at 10, on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade, afternoons at 11, before Dave Ramsey, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 723 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Storms are coming. It's on top of Mississippi right now. It'll be over Alabama soon and then to us this afternoon, maybe 2, 3, 4 vicinity, something like that. So just kind of be prepared that it's going to be some strong storming later on this afternoon. Dave Greenwood is the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. He always joins us on a Friday. Dave, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, thank you, Andrew. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you. What are we looking at today and tomorrow for flag conditions?
Well, we're going to start out with yellow, and then we'll see what the surf does as the storm approaches. So anytime there's a storm nearby, it typically generates surf, so we could have yellow flags flying. So always be aware because surf changes very quickly.
And the advice you always give is if you hear that thunder...
Yeah, thunder roars, please go indoors. Anyway, there was a lightning strike a few weeks ago over in Panama City Beach. So, you know, when there's lightning outside, it's best to go inside.
And you guys have been fairly busy this week. It's just kind of been, you know, a lot of people and, you know, a lot of a difficult surf. I think you had some rescues on, was it Sunday? I forget now, but, you know, you guys have been pretty busy, right?
Yeah, well, we had red flags flying on Saturday late. About mid-Friday, we put the red flag out, and we did probably about 10,000 preventative acts. Rescued about 7 people, but the preventative acts really spoke a lot about what we do is we prevent incidents from happening, and that's what lifeguards do.
Most definitely. Well, Dave, I appreciate the work. You know, we've talked about this so many times that what you guys do saves lives. I mean, genuinely saves lives, and because it saves lives, makes our beaches safer and makes us a better tourist destination, both for locals and for out-of-town visitors. So I appreciate all of that work. Dave Greenwood, Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Talk to you next week, sir. Thank you, and please pass along to your guards how much we appreciate the work they do, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. I sure will, and have a great weekend. Look forward to talking to you next Friday.
Absolutely. 725 News Radio 92.3 Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing anything right now. We are watching, of course, East Bay Boulevard in Navarre, which is closed through the end of the month. Weather permitting, they plan on opening it at the beginning of June. They're working on a drainage project. Other than that, good to go. 437-1620. If you have a traffic tip, you can text it in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Now, David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Surgeons in Boston have performed a groundbreaking brain surgery on a baby that was still in the womb. Now, this is the first time that this type of surgery has been done here in the U.S., and now it's been 7 weeks since the operation, reportedly mother and baby both doing well. There's no reports of injuries after a couple of tornadoes hit the Los Angeles area yesterday.
That's unusual.
The first one touched down in Carson. They had wind speeds about 75 miles an hour. A second one hit Compton just minutes later. And the only reported damage was a couple of buildings and trees.
I'm not wrong, am I? Like, that never happens. I've never heard of a tornado in L.A.
No. Well, it's very rare. There have been a few this year.
Have there been? Okay.
There, right. Yeah, there have. But no, it's not very common at all.
It's not Oklahoma, Missouri, Kansas.
No.
You know?
And this weekend is the 149th running of the Kentucky Derby. The 1.25-mile race at Churchill Downs will feature 20 horses. And apparently Forte is the favorite for this year.
Oh, all right. Well, he's a great road planner.
Yes, absolutely.
Local David Forte is our road planner here in now the city of Pensacola. It used to be for Escambia County. David, thanks so much for the update. 727, he's dying. He hates to be mentioned. He's one of those guys that just wants to do it. He doesn't want to be talked about, doesn't want to have the mic, all of that kind of stuff. That's why I love him so much. And he's really good at his job, by the way. Hey, if you have the beautiful, lush lawn last year in July, great. Do what you did, okay? If you didn't have a beautiful lush lawn and you'd like to do something different, that's science. You know, if you change the process, you change the outcome. So call NSEC, have them come out for no charge. They'll look at your lawn, they'll take soil samples, they'll figure out which kind of applications are time programmed and targeted to get your lawn what it needs when it needs it. That's the idea. And you don't do this in July. You do it now to get it ready for July. It's easy to get started. Free lawn analysis and estimate. You get fertilizer applications, seasonal pre-emergent weed control, broadleaf and grassy weed control, insect, fungicide, all of that stuff. And if you sign up today, you get your first lawn application free with any new annual lawn program. That includes the initial soil sample and lime treatment on an average size yard. NSEC is also now hiring full-time pest and lawn technicians in Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County, Panama City, good pay, good benefits, 401k, advancement, health insurance, eat all the stuff, right? Apply at workwithNSEC. That's workwithENSEC.com. 728, News Radio 92.3. Oh, this caught me by surprise because I did not know. And anytime I catch something, I'm like, man, I didn't hear that was the case from back in March, but there's a new note related to it.
And we are about to witness history here, folks, this afternoon, as Olivia Pichardo is going to make her first career at-bat. First ever female player to play Division I baseball.
So the first woman to play Division I baseball stepped up to the plate in March, playing for Brown. It was the bottom of the ninth inning. They were down 10-1. There was one out, and
now here we go. Olivia Pichardo, the freshman from the Queens, New York, making her first career at bat. It's left-handed.
Perfect music for Cinco de Mayo today.
National team, the women's team in the summer 22. And she grounds one to first base, scooped up there by the first baseman and on to tag the bag for the out. But a sharply hit ball there by Pichardo in her first collegiate.
There you go. Unassisted three. First baseman gets the put out. No big deal. But, you know, first time that a woman has ever played in a Division I NCAA baseball game. So, look, if she's better than the guys, then she's better than the guys. Now, they're apparently a terrible team, losing 10-1 to Bryant, who I'd never even heard of Bryant before. But, okay, fine, whatever. The reason this is news is not because of that. That was sort of backdrop, okay? The reason it's news is because she threw out a first pitch at a Major League game yesterday for the Red Sox. And it was bad. It was, and here's the thing. It was through the batter's box, for the right-handed batter's box, in the dirt through the batter's box. But let me tell you this, okay? I think critics will say, oh, this is what happens when you put a girl in a boy. No, no, no. She threw great. Like, the throw was fine. It's hard to throw off a mound. And if you've never done it before, and I'm guessing she never has, you will mess it up, period. So I give her great grace on that. Lots of people who can throw fine throw terribly off the mound for the first time. But, of course, the call would be,
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
Of course, Euchre's the perfect call for that.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There's an arrest in the murder of a woman killed hiking near her home in Arizona.
5 days after a neighbor found the body of 29-year-old Lauren Hakey, police arrested a suspect.
We know that not only this tragedy has affected the family, but it's affected this neighborhood and the entire community.
Sergeant Melissa Solis says police arrested the man at his apartment about a mile from where Hakey was killed.
Fox's Carmen Roberts. The North Carolina legislature passes new abortion restrictions.
Under current North Carolina law, abortions are legal up to 20 weeks. Under the proposed measure, the procedure would be banned after 12 weeks, with some exceptions in cases of rape, incest, or when the mother's life is in danger. The state's Democratic governor, Roy Cooper, says he will veto the measure, but Republicans do have enough votes to override him.
Fox's Sean Langell. The Labor Department reports 253,000 jobs created last month, the unemployment rate dropping to 3.4%. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 71. It is mostly cloudy right now in Pensacola. One Escambia County Commissioner hoping to see full-time firefighters staffed at Beulah and Molino fire stations soon. Speaking with Channel 3, Jeff Bergosh says the funding request is likely something the board will consider when finalizing next year's budget in September. To help offset the cost, revenue from new housing developments in Beulah could be used.
Because we've had such incredible growth, because we've had such an explosion in housing development, that additional revenue will assist us in absorbing this, you know, if the board chooses to move forward.
And the plan would call for one officer and three firefighters on three different shifts. County Public Safety Manager Eric Gilmore says they'd be backed up by the volunteers that currently man those stations. Well, after that 215-acre wildfire in Santa Rosa County this week, there's a word of caution now from the Florida Forestry Service.
Being a coastal community, you get the shifting winds and the higher winds with the sea breeze. So, yeah, until we get some appreciable rainfall, some decent rain, it's probably best to lay off the backyard burning, the leaves, the limbs, and whatnot, and just wait a little while.
Joe Sierczowski says May is typically the driest month in our area. He called Thursday a very quiet day, said crews were continuing to put out some hot spots on that big wildfire and contain the blaze. There were no injuries, no homes have been impacted, and the cause of that fire still under investigation. Well, this year's red snapper fishing season will be a little bit longer. The governor was in Panama City yesterday. Governor DeSantis says Florida's going to have a 46-day summer season, followed by 8 3-day weekends in October and November this year.
And we'll have a summer and a fall season, and so we've never had anything this long under state control.
The summer season will be from June 16th until July 31st. Florida's education model stands alone as a shining example for all other states to follow. That from the Florida Department of Education Commissioner Manny Diaz after U.S. News ranked the state number one in education in the nation. Diaz says Governor DeSantis prioritized education by providing teachers with big salary increases, making sure students were able to return to in-person instruction after the pandemic, and abolishing woke ideology from the classroom. Teachers, however, not all of them, don't seem to agree. United Faculty of Florida President Andrew Gothard said the top ranking is in spite of and not because of the FDOE and Governor DeSantis. Florida Education Association President Andrew Spahr says U.S. News relied on a narrow view of education. And there's funding identified in the state budget to install ShotSpotter technology here in Escambia County. If it gets approved, that would be used by both the Sheriff's Office and Pensacola Police from the planned real-time crime center at the Sheriff's Office. PPD's PPD's Mike Wood says the technology uses microphones placed in certain areas and automatically notifies police when they hear gunshots.
Sometimes there's been shots fired before and people just ignore it. And we, you know, those calls right there are scary because we don't know if somebody got hit or not, and then we never get the call. With ShotSpotter, that won't ever happen again. We'll get the call anyway. We'll know exactly where to go and provide help if needed.
And not only that, but the tech can reportedly even tell the difference between gunshots and other common noises, such as fireworks and vehicles backfiring. At 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. And Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
And I'm not showing an accident, but I am showing it's really slow. This is Highway 90 westbound in Milton from Ollie's back to Glover Lane or so. And again, that is westbound. A little slow eastbound, too, as you're moving your way up to Ollie's. But again, I'm not showing an accident, just a very slow area at that time. Certainly watch for your usual areas of congestion. And then, of course, in Navarre, East Bay Boulevard closed for the rest of the month with the drainage improvement project. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We're going to be seeing a nice morning, but a rain chance moves in as we go into the afternoon and evening hours. 30% chance of rain overall, high near 79. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. 30% chance of rain for your Saturday. Showers and thunderstorms possible with a high near 80 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 66. We're going to have a rain chance drop a little bit for Sunday with a 20% chance of showers, high near 82. Sunday night, temperatures drop near 69. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, it is cloudy in Pensacola, 71 degrees, also 71 in Gulf Breeze, and 65 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Go with your money now. Regional bank stocks tumbled Thursday despite assurances from the Fed that the banking system is on solid footing. PacWest dropped 50%. Western Alliance was down 38%. Lyft reported better than expected quarterly results, but an outlook that missed the mark has shares skidding 16% in pre-market trading. The ride-sharing company's forecast for the second quarter fell short of expectations as it cut prices to compete with its bigger rival, Uber. Sweetgreen reported a narrower than expected loss in its latest quarter after slowing its expansion to focus on profitability. The salad chain, which went public in November of 2021, is aiming to turn a profit for the first time by 2024. Last quarter, it announced it would take a more conservative approach to entering new markets. Sweetgreen says its chicken plus Chipotle pepper bowl drew in new customers and generated buzz. It was the first warm bowl without any lettuce. That's your money now.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that is Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry. Gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. They're on Creighton Road, right across from Tom Thumb. Emerald Coast Coins.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel, but no pets or glass, and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, Grits and Greens takes the stage. And the Warriors. A powerful four-piece band best described as rock and roll with a soulful and jam-heavy delivery. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
There are councils and mayors all over this country that would sit on the same dais and talk about bonding millions and millions of dollars to do this exact project and then operate it, if you fingers crossed, at only a little bit of a subsidy. We have someone here that's willing to take on that risk of the operation, that's willing to hand us a building that is in disrepair as it sits now currently and fix it up. Those are, and in a worst case scenario, that's fixing up a building that we own. And, I think that makes this a no-brainer.
This is Mayor D.C. Reeves saying that the deal to accept the bid to redevelop Warehouse 4 on the port, that's the northwest corner of the port, closest to the ferry terminal. It's like kind of like right there on the bridge between the water and the office complex, that's been used as a storage area historically for Gulf Power and some others, now FPL. But it's just basically kind of a month-to-month. Different people use it for different things because the port needs storage space, and so different people use it. But not like high use, high activation or anything like that. And he says, look, if we convert this over into a pickleball, indoor, multi-sport, volleyball, basketball, there's this weird soccer game that you play with five players on either side, indoor soccer. I can never remember the name of it. It would serve for that. It would serve for, convention space of sorts for things like Pensacon. And he says, look, this is about building place as economic development. We're not necessarily creating a lot of jobs, but we're creating the kind of place where people who are going to create jobs want to live and where people who have jobs want to live.
I ran for 14 months talking about building place in a community, and that the new battlefront of economic development isn't necessarily shovel-ready land or site selection. It's how do you build a really, really cool place to live? And talent is more remote than ever, is more nimble than ever. And you want talent to live here because they've got cool amenities.
So that's kind of the idea. Pickleball is hot. Other sports would also be hot for a variety of sports tourism purposes. This would be a kind of a wonderful amenity. And as Mike Ensley said,
I wanted to come up and say that this facility doesn't just have to be about sports. One of the biggest challenges that Pensacon's had in our 10 years is just where we put the 30. This year, almost 37,000 people came to town for Pensacon. Where do we put them? The Pensacola Bay Center is a really outdated facility. In fact, the floor space in this facility that they're proposing would be double what is the floor space at the Pensacola Bay Center. I don't think a lot of people recognize that.
Isn't that crazy to consider that the floor space of this little building, because it's all floor space, it's just a shell of a building, basically.
That's right, yeah.
That's actually more than the Bay Center? That's crazy.
Pensacola Bay Center looks like a giant building, but it's really not. We've heard from the management there that they get a lot of calls from people that say, hey, we'd love to bring our boat show to Pensacola. We'd love to bring our conference to Pensacola. And they say, how much space do you have? And they say 23,000 square feet. And people go, well, we'll see you later. We're not going to come there. And they go to Mobile and they go to Fort Walton and they go to other places that have facilities that can accommodate this type of thing.
Yeah, the Bay Center is not a big building. It's an ice rink surrounded by a big building.
No, 100%.
Really.
You're right.
And that's something
right.
I just hadn't really been considering. So, questions had been brought up like, okay, there's a rail line that runs on the west side of this building that would be unusable because that's part of the lease. And what about that, Clark Merritt, support director?
There is some truth that you would say that removing access of rail on that western side of the building could reduce the capacity or limit the ability of the port to move cargo. I will say, though, in response to that, that a vast majority of all of CEMEX's cargo moves through the eastern rail on the eastern side of the building. So we don't typically see large amounts of cargo moving on that rail on the western side.
Yeah, what I would call the main rail, but what he's saying is the eastern rail on the eastern side of the building. Amy Miller used to be the port director. Now she's the assistant city administrator.
The last time I can recall cargo coming in any great quantity on that rail would be in the early 2000s when we were moving windmill blades.
And she says, definitely not recently.
There may have been some cargo since then. I just don't recall it. But within the last 3 years, for sure, I know there hasn't been any cargo moved on it because Offshore Inland Marine had a paint booth built over top of it.
Yeah, so for the last 3 years, basically somebody's got a tent on top of the thing where they're, you just can't even use it right now. The other question that had come up was storage. And by the way, for those of you who are critics of this plan, I'll get to those arguments in just a second. I know you're like, Andrew, what about the other side? I'll get there. I'm getting there piece by piece, okay? One of the questions that was brought up was storage and the loss of the storage capacity.
Removing square footage from the inventory of the port is in theory, a reduction of capability at the port, right, to store more cargo or to enter into a long-term lease with a tenant who would use that facility for storage.
That's true. I mean, you are reducing the capacity of the port to handle indoor storage because you're getting rid of a storage warehouse. Amy Miller?
The port is very limited currently on inside storage space. That is not an exaggeration to say that at all. The port is limited on inside storage space currently, especially with Warehouse 10 presumably going to house American Magic down the road.
Right. Warehouse 4 is going to this purpose, pickleball. Warehouse 10 and I guess 9 is also going to be American Magic and, you know, civilian use. So that's a reduction in capacity as well. And the concern that the folks on the other side have is, well, you're chipping away at the port, and, you know, how far does the chipping go? It seems like the chipping's going pretty far. Well, that's the concern, and that is a reasonable concern because the port is essential to Pensacola's identity, history, and commerce, and future, in addition to the things we've talked about, how, you know, the port is what justifies maybe cleaning out the canal and dredging, you know, the channel. But then that would also be useful for things that would benefit NES Pensacola. Those are all collateral benefits that matter substantially. And those concerns are fair. We'll get to the concern side here in just a second. Let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
And not seeing a lot. East Bay Boulevard, Navarre closed just south of Coppell as part of the ongoing drainage improvement project. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So going into this conversation, I'll tell you, I was moderately in favor. Not massively in favor, but moderately in favor. And I'll tell you what started to persuade me was listening to people I trust and respect and admire, like Jimmy Coe from Pensacola Hardware and Buddy McCormick, who used to run Offshore Inland here locally, and he's the president of the Propeller Club, and, you know, Kathy Tanner, and, you know, a person I had not met. And their argument generally was, look, there are other alternatives. This is a good project. Let's just not have it at the port. Let's do it somewhere else and not lose this port capacity.
Maritime transport is essential to the world's economy.
This is Buddy McCormick.
As over 90% of the world's trade is carried by sea and is by far the most effective way to move en masse goods and raw materials around the world. Propeller Club of Pensacola supports the concept of public multi-use facilities in the downtown area. It benefits economic growth in the community at non-industrial areas and not at the Port of Pensacola industrial site.
So somewhere not downtown, like, for example, at Old Stinky or at, you know, you could do it on the Community Maritime Park parcel. I mean, you'd have to build a building instead of being able to rehabilitate a building that's already in, you know, low-grade repair. And that would be a city-owned building, but it would be a loss of the functionality of that building. Matthew Pate from Pate Stevedore.
I just think there's so many other options within the city that this could be put at Maritime Park, the technology center across the street from Maritime Park. There's numerous things. The port is the one asset that the city has that can't be replaced. You've got that place, but there's no other facility, there's no other area within the city limits that can have a port. That's it. So eroding the port to this magnitude is just beyond my, I just can't fathom it.
So there are those who want to preserve the port in every functionality of its current way because they're worried that this is step one of three steps to get rid of the port, and I think that's a fair concern. And they're also saying, look, there's no reason to do it here. There are many locations that you could do it at. It doesn't, you know, need to be here. We could find another place to do it. And I'm sympathetic to that argument. There's also been arguments about, well, why didn't you put it out for an RFP? You know, why didn't you say, hey, this, well, there's been a sign, I could be wrong, but as I recall, there's a pretty big sign out in front of the port space on Main Street. You drive past it every time you go east that says, hey, if you're interested in commercial real estate, you know, we've got stuff. Like, it's out there. And so we finally get an offer that's a fairly good offer for something that's in demand that a lot of people are very excited about. And now the answer, well, maybe there's something better out there. If there were, where is it? And I thought, you know, honestly, I thought Allison Patton's comment on this was so on point. City Councilwoman Allison Patton.
I also think we've been guilty as a city sometimes, as a city government, that we have good proposals. We think maybe there's something better or maybe we're giving up something and we don't move forward and we lose opportunity.
You know, there might be something better out there, and that's why we have an empty Community Maritime Park. right? I mean, because nothing is ever quite good enough compared to the imaginary perfect thing that's not ever materialized. So the city council voted 7-0 on this in the end. They all supported it. So here's where I went through on this. I was in favor of it going in a little bit. I listened to all of the opponents, and they're all people I really do respect a lot and trust, and kind of like, well, if they're concerned, and I know people who didn't speak who are also very concerned about this. And then I listened to what Clark and Amy had to say, and I thought about the issue and listened to some of the city councilmen talk about it. And I came back to being in favor of it very cautiously because I, too, am concerned. If I thought this would jeopardize the port generally long term, I'd be against it. If I thought that's what was going to happen, I'd be against it. But remember the, you know, the port study about what we should do with the future of the port? That came out a couple years ago, and it basically, 2019, if I remember correctly, and I was just looking over it the other day, that basically said this portion of the port and the northeastern corner of the port, those are all areas that can go away. They won't really affect functionality. We can move the perimeter back. We can secure it. And then, you know, we can do operations here, and then we can have, you know, citizen access over there. So I'm very sympathetic to the concerns, including a voice I'd never heard before, Janet Wall. She was a U.S. Merchant Marine and a member of the Propeller Club, and she said,
when the news of what happened at NAS in Building 633, where I taught, came across news radio, within 4 minutes of happening, due to their strong ties to the community, I froze. That was an unfortunate incident. As we know, things happen that we don't expect. That was a vetted, secure facility with a vetted person. Putting something that has additional public access, and especially tournaments, we don't have a way to support law enforcement for the land and water security about who's coming and going so close to our maritime asset. So I think for this reason, I support the others that have said a great, great concept, but just the wrong venue.
You know, security is an issue. The port, if the security at the port is not enforceable, then that's a major problem for that asset. And like I said, I seriously respect the people who were speaking. They all had very good arguments, very fair position. And I had to think to myself, you know, what would I do if I were voting? And again, my vote was 55% for, 45% against. Based entirely on my conversations with the mayor and my belief that this is not the future of the end of the port, but is the future of a phase of port development that will still allow us to preserve the majority of port operations. Now, what's going to happen if we get, you know, expansion from CMEX? What's going to happen if somebody comes along and wants to do more? Are we going to have to build another building for inside storage? All good questions. We'll see. But that's kind of where I took it away. And I know some people, I've already had texts in this morning, like people disagree with, and that's fine. I just wanted to, I know this hadn't got a lot of attention in the media in terms of the pros and cons, and I wanted to kind of give it to you and then tell you a little bit about where I stood on it. So at least you were informed about the conversation. And I'll tell you, by the way, one of the other things that frankly concerns me about this is pickleball's hot now. Remember when racquetball was hot and everybody built racquetball facilities? What happened to those facilities? Well, they're empty, or they got bulldozed but the difference is racquetball was a single-purpose facility use, right? Hard to repurpose. This, easy to repurpose. It satisfies the convention space kind of desire, like you heard, you know, Mike Ensley talk about. Various indoor sports tourism, spending downtown, activating that portion of the waterfront, getting people down, spending money who will come here and spend a lot of money. Those are kind of the arguments for that, again, persuaded me despite the concerns. 753 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, look, I recommend them. Dave Ramsey recommends them. The reason they kind of fit our philosophy is because, you know, I say, and Dave says the same thing, is what you want to do is buy a car that you're going to have a few miles on, and, you know, it's a gently used. You buy that and drive it until the wheels fall off. I took a Honda Accord from 27,000 miles. I bought it at, I think it was 2 years old, to 330,000 miles running. I sold it to my mechanic, who then gave it away to somebody who needed it. A Honda Civic I've got right now, I think is around 180,000, 190,000 miles. We have the Odyssey that we bought from Frontier, replaced a Grand Caravan. I don't even remember, maybe 200,000 miles on it that we drove for 15 years. That's how we do cars. So we love the idea of Frontier, where you can buy that kind of a vehicle. Great deals, great cars, great people, excellent service. I'll buy you a car today, and I'll see you again in 15 years. That's kind of my approach. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory, to our truck, to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing.
Going on now, save 35% off factory direct windows and doors. Call 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
April showers bring May savings at Beret Jewelers. We're ringing in spring with special deals on your shining favorites during Beret's Blooming Blowout Sale. Save up to 70% on select pieces May 5th through May 31st. From top designers to beautiful bridal jewelry, you'll find something to love. So hurry into shop and save up to 70% off during the spring sale of the season. All month long at Beret Jewelers.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing? These are words you hear a lot about. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you could start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, Monday morning at 10:30. Join me, Tasca King. I'll show you how to navigate the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. Monday morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The bartender never gets killed.
No, man. Bartender got it worse than anybody.
Good morning. Happy Cinco de Mayo. 7:56 here on News Radio 92.3. No, man, the bartender got it worst of all. Candy's got our traffic on the fives.
It looks like there is an accident in Milton. The left-hand lane is shut down on Highway 90. And this is close to the turnoff to Avalon, and it's backed up almost to Dogwood Drive on Highway 90 westbound. That left lane shut down again after an accident. Traffic tips, text 437-1620. This brought to you by Avalon HR. With everything going on, you need Avalon. It's employing made easy. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
If you've got a Beamer, a Porsche, a Mercedes, a Genesis, a Jaguar, you paid extra to get them. You do not have to pay extra to service them. You do not have to go to the dealership. You do not have to pass go and spend your $200. You can go to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on these cars all the time. You don't have to go to Mobile. Stay right here at home. Whether it's an ordinary runaround, your domestics, your trucks, your diesel engines, you think you might have to do something special for those. I mean, they are a little different, but Bobby Likas, they work on those all the time. CarClinicService.com is the website. The philosophy there is like a healthcare clinic for your car. See them for the little things so you don't have to see them for the big stuff. Rated a top-rated service center 2021, 4.5 average reviews or above by Carfax. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Two senators are sponsoring a bill to extend President Biden's authority to expel migrants that are seeking asylum without a hearing when Title 42 expires. The bill, Arizona Independent Kristen Sinema and North Carolina Republican Tom Tillis introduced yesterday, is aimed at holding off an expected surge at the southern border. Unemployment numbers stayed low in April. The Labor Department says the unemployment rate in April stayed at 3.4%, matching January's numbers, tied for the lowest rate since 1969. About 253,000 non-farm jobs were added to the economy over the month, beating out analysts' estimates by about 60,000. And the Department of Justice reportedly now has subpoenaed the Trump Organization for records related to his dealings with LIV Golf. The New York Times reported yesterday that federal prosecutors want to see records about the about Trump's business and the Saudi-backed golf tour that plans to hold three tournaments this year at some of Trump's golf courses.
All right. Thanks so much, David. You know, it's kind of interesting. I got some texts in here. One was about the first woman baseball player in Division I NCAA played for Brown and, basically run into a hit. Somebody says, well, why do we protect women from the intrusion by men into their sports and not protect men from the intrusion by women? And my answer is simple. because women should have a domain of sports all to themselves, and men, as long as she was given the spot on the men's team because she's better than all the other competitors, I don't have a problem with it. If she was given the spot because she's a woman, that's a problem. But if she outcompeted the men, you want the best competitor. You want your team to be the best that it can be. That's all you're really looking for.